If you're filibustering him as a Democrat, that just means you don't accept the fact that President Trump won. And this is the end of the qualification standards to be on the Supreme Court. Hamilton is rolling over in his grave. I'm sorry we got here, but we are where we're here. We are where we are, and I'm going to vote to change the rules because I'm not going to be part of a Senate where Democrats get their judges and a Republican can never get theirs. That's not what it's all about.
Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows. Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Ah, yes, pink fluffy unicorns. Okay, wait, hey, never mind the name Merrick Garland. Erase that from your mind. Never happened. Just didn't happen. Along with all of the other things that we're seeing, and the headlines today, Christian mercenary Blackwater founder Eric Prince evidently secret meetings with Russian spies to set up back channels. You've got Trump advisors like Carter Page in meetings with Russian spies. You go, wait a second. At some point, what is, isn't it? That's why I've asked Scott Dworkin to come talk with us. He's the, well, community organizer and co-founder of the Dem Coalition, or otherwise known as Dems Against Trump. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, good morning.
So, again, you know, you look at this stuff and all of the arrows seem to be pointing in one direction, and it ain't a good place.
Right. There's only one person overall that's connected to everyone. And that's Donald Trump. And I want to make sure that it's clear to everybody, he is, as, you know, dumb as his decisions can be, he is the mastermind behind this entire plot from the evidence I have seen, which everybody else is, publicly available. It's very clear to me that he was at least complicit. At the very least, he let it happen, or he could have prevented it or stopped it from happening, and he did not.
Here's the thing. Here's a little problem. When you put Trump and mastermind in the same sentence, I gotta question that.
Right. It's hard to comprehend. If you look back at some of his testimonies in front of Congress 35 years ago, he talks about tax law, and it's a completely different human being. It's a person who sounds well-educated and articulate. And you wonder, you know, if this playing dumb act, that's what I believe it to be, is what gets him out of trouble a lot of times, because they're like, well, he just didn't know, you know? And so he seems to be, in regards to getting out of trouble, he's been smart, you know, for most of his life. In that regard, but everything else is a disaster, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, because I look at him and he reminds me of your crazy uncle who's just had too much Fox News and too much right-wing talk radio and has internalized all of that insanity on one side. And then the other side is, you know, the business part of things where you go, in that world, how can he not have all of the kind of ties that we're seeing come out with the Russians, even though he's come out, you know, publicly and said, I've done anything in Russia in 10 years.
Right. And it's what do you define as, like, in Russia or with Russia? What I try to get down to is the dollars and cents. And I think Reuters did an excellent job in reporting this. It was $198 million in sales in Florida alone of condos and, you know, housing to Russians. Directly. So in the United States itself, we've seen, I think it's over now $1 billion worth of sales to Russians in Florida, New York, Arizona, and I think in the Chicago building that he had. On top of that, the Alpha Bank connection, which is, interesting enough, apparently helped finance four of his buildings as well. And that's something that's going to be reported on, I'm guessing, later today.
Yeah, well, again, it's back to following the money, and you're right on. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You know, there are my friends on the right are saying, well, you know, he's just a good businessman, and good businessmen have these kind of ties, Scott.
Sure, they do, and you can do it in a right way. But when it coincides with, something that borders with treason, and involves murder of lots of people at this point, it's hard to conceive any. There's no way that Trump isn't involved. That's the first thing. He is too hands-on with Russia. I don't think that he's getting blackmailed, but I think that they're not going to give him the money or whatever he's owed until he lifts the sanctions. And that's what's happening in regards to he's just trying to play the long game in that. But I don't think that there's any like big blackmail. He spreads himself out too much. He has advanced teams. He's had security that's been more advanced at times probably than the Secret Service. So he has people that go out there. They scan the buildings. Like, they know where electronics are placed. So all that regard, I just want to make sure that it's clear. He is a very smart person when it comes to deposition, when it comes to anything legal related, with his companies and whatnot. And so I think the key is, even though he has a lot of legitimate businesses and a lot of legitimate business ties, there's also ties to, you know, child trafficking, sex trafficking, prostitution rings, and drugs. And so you can't, and he kind of acts like, well, that's just part of, you know, what they do. And no, that means that he's also complicit with them. And so you just start to see these ties, and then you start to see, okay, well, he accepted funding basically from criminals. And then you look, okay, so who is the Russian tie? The actual Russian tie, the people who have direct lines to Putin, are the people in the White House. Like, there's no doubt about that. Trump can connect with Putin. His sons can directly connect with Putin. Same thing with Ivanka. Same thing with Jared, Charlie. Same thing with Josh. I mean, you look at all the evidence and the people and the players involved. These are people who are powerful enough that they could definitely connect with Putin. They could definitely help orchestrate something like this, and it would have been in their best interest. And so eventually, you look at the timing, and you look at things like the dossier from credible people, and it really adds up into a whole mess of, you know, something much bigger than even Watergate. And so I just want to make sure, again, it's clear that Trump, if we don't give him the credit of being at least smart enough to do something involved with this, then he's not going to get the blame.
Right.
And that's what I'm worried about, is I want to make sure that we go back to him when it comes down to it, because he even if he wasn't the guy who came up with the idea or whatever, he definitely could have stopped it, and he had the connects to stop it, and he did it. And that's for sure now.
Right. Because that's
absolute.
Right, because that's a frame that we keep seeing, that, you know, a lot of these people like Manafort and Page and those folks were on board well before Bannon got there. And, well, Trump may not have known all of these things. And I'm kind of with you. Here's a guy who's very careful. And he's right. Not going to surround himself with people who aren't as careful and aren't going to be, you know, at least in the same world view and the same position as him.
It's tough. To comprehend, it really is, because explaining to people that, all right, we got to give him a little bit of leverage here to realize, okay, he had a friend, you know, the only person to ever win an award from both Donald Trump and Putin, Aras Agalarov, the guy who gave him $20 million to have Miss Universe in Moscow. I mean, he has a direct line to Putin. Like, it's not even a question. And what we found, I think it was last week, was Aras Agalarov went on the record in a Russian newspaper and said that Amin, his son, came to the United States and met with Donald Trump during the campaign in the United States. And so we have that on video, and we'll release that later today as well, re-release it. But I think it's been reported on here and there. But the interesting thing is that's really clear that, you know, again, they act like everything is innocent and whatnot. My hope is that transcripts and recordings and things that are, you know, not just circumstantial evidence, I think those exist. I think that they absolutely exist, according to Newsweek and Kurt Eichenwald, in that there were multiple countries that were spying on people that were from the United States that were contacting Russia. And so I'm not exactly sure where this is going to stop and there's going to be indictments or where it's going to go from here, but I'm just glad we've at least gotten to this place because people told me 9 months ago, like, what are you crazy? Yep. He doesn't have any Russian ties.
I remember, saying this because, I was talking about it back during the conventions because we broadcast from both of the conventions. And the undercurrent of all of the talk about ties with Russia and all of the Manafort ties with Russia and all this stuff, it was kind of the open secret at the conventions. And I kept saying, look, there's something here. And I got, people with, you're trying to create something that's not there. You're talking conspiracy. Now we're seeing, Russia derangement syndrome is something that's being kicked around. But here's the thing. If you've got all these arrows pointing in one direction, you've got all this smoke, there's something there.
There must be. And again, there's two things that people should know. One is the Trump dossier that was released by Chris Steele is a summary. That is not the full dossier that he has. I'm not sure, where that full document is, but the 36-page or whatever dossier, that is a larger document. So that's the short summary of it. And from what I've seen, we verified over, 50 facts in it so far. And some of them are just like, does this person actually exist? Do they work at this place? Have they been involved with these people? The whole question is, do we have proof of collusion with Russia? And do we have it undoubtedly, recordings, videotapes? And I think that's something that they have, because I don't think that Comey would have gone that far in regards to, testifying before Congress. But I still worry, and we're still going to push very, very hard in regards to this, because this is a fire, but somebody standing in front of the house and somebody saying Russia derangement system is like someone waving in front of a burning house saying, oh, there's nothing to see here, folks. Like Leslie Nielsen. It's really not. It's so complicated in regards to how many layers there are to it. But I think, give it another week or so, it'll start unfolding in a way that, it's beyond imaginable how intricate, how layered it was, how planned it was, how many people were involved. I mean, we're talking at this point that there were thousands of wow. people that were paid for by Russia, not only to troll, to spy, to work here. And that's not even a doubt at this point. So that's a full-fledged, new age war. And we just don't appreciate the value of what they stole. And so I think once we settle in, I think it was sort of like a terrorist attack. People are still in shock. And I think that's still attacking us right now. No. I think they're still, they're still working together in some way. There's way too much parity between their news and what Trump is saying. And, I think they've got it down without having to contact each other anymore. So it's just going to be really interesting, because we do need something that's substantial enough to just be like, here is him saying this. Here is Trump meeting Putin, or like something along those lines where it's very clear what the terms were, what you were doing there. And I think they have that evidence, and I think that's going to come out soon.
Now, you need the smoking gun, but at the end of the day, you look at, and it's my view that while there may not have been direct coordination with Putin and Trump, and maybe there was, and maybe we'll see, but it just seemed very, very odd that, when Trump says, hey, get those emails, and, well, look, they pop up. And you see right. all of this stuff to where, you won't see Trump, say anything bad about Putin. Look, as a kid growing up during the 80s, 70s and 80s, where the Russians were our enemies, this just seems so wrong.
Right. I think it'll get worse in regards to, what's exposed and how far it goes. I think it's going to involve the invasion of Crimea. I think it's going to involve, $500 billion in oil, at least. I think it's going to involve multiple countries, including Venezuela, Italy, Singapore, and Philippines on top of Russia. So I don't think we're just looking at that. And just one quick point, that I make to everyone who's a Russia doubter. Russia is the one place where we have probably the most kind of circumstantial evidence in regards to a country and working together. But we have evidence in, 30 other countries where it's undoubted evidence. So let's say we get to the bottom of Trump Russia and he wasn't colluding and it was, his staff or somebody and he stays in office. Then we're talking Trump India. Then we're talking Trump China. Then we're talking about, child labor. We're talking about people dying on his construction sites. The living situations for the basic slave laborers he has in Dubai, is reported on Vice, I think it was. So this is a never-ending gambit in regards to, where this goes, and it only gets worse, which is, you would think, oh, well, Russia colluding with – no, but then you have, basically crimes against humanity that he's committing to do his business, internationally.
Yeah.
And we get into that, eventually I just think that people – we're not going to get tired in the resistance. But I think people on the other side will get tired of hearing from us. They'll get tired of us reaching out. And I just don't see that stopping. We're only building momentum now. We have, most of the members of Congress are united as of right now. And we work together, not even just on the legislative level, but we're able to move it now online where we have parity and, they use our hashtags and we make sure that we push out the same sort of message to make sure that it's not about, Democrat or Republican. I promise you, if Hillary were elected and it was the same situation, she would not be in that office right now.
No, I'm with you.
And so I would do the same. I would probably go after harder, to be honest. And I've done this with my own party before. There's been tons of different members of Congress where there's been, scandals, and we've definitely exposed them at that point. But I really would not tolerate in my party. But this is different, and I think again, the shock of this will wear off, and people will start to realize, that we were attacked in a new way, and as that's exposed, I think the players will go down big time. I think that they're going to be treated as traitors, I would assume.
I want to see a long perp walk of a bunch of them heading off into the gallows. Scott, I appreciate you taking time for us. I'd love to have you come back and as this continues, and it will, and keep us up to date and informed what's going on.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Thanks so much. Scott Dworkin, co-founder of the Dem Coalition. We'll get links at thericksmithshow.com of how you can check out their work and maybe get involved, maybe get active, maybe, stand up and fight back. Quick break. Right back. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. The Rick Smith Show.